Miss Allen felt she had made almost too many allowances, and apologized hurriedly for her toleration.
All the same, she is a little too, I hardly like to say unwomanly, but she behaved most strangely when the Emersons arrived.
Mr. B. went out to order some tea, and she continued to Lucy in a hasty whisper.
Miss Lavish thought they were commercial travellers, and all through dinner she tried to prove that England, our great and beloved country, rests on nothing but commerce. But that was not all. After dinner, Miss Lavish actually came up and said, "Miss Allen, I am going into the smoking room to talk to those two nice men. Come too." Needless to say, I refused such an unsuitable invitation, and she had the impertinence to tell me that it would broaden my ideas.
"Let me finish the story," said Mr. Beebe, who had returned. "Miss Lavish tried Miss Pole, myself, everyone, and finally said, 'I shall go alone.' She went. At the end of 5 minutes, she returned unobtrusively with a green baize board and began playing patience."
"Whatever happened?" cried Lucy.
"No one knows. No one will ever know. Miss Lavish will never dare to tell, and Mr. Emerson does not think it worth telling."
"Mr. B., old Mr. Emerson, is he nice or not nice? I do so want to know. Miss Allen, what do you think?"
The little old lady shook her head and sighed disapprovingly.
"I consider that you are bound to class him as nice, Miss Allen, after that business of the violets," said Mr. Beebe.
"Violets? Oh, dear, who told you about the violets? Oh, a pensione is a bad place for gossips. No, I cannot forget how they behaved at Mr. Eagle's lecture at Santa Croce. It really was too bad. No, I do not like the Emersons."
Mr. Beebe smiled nonchalantly. He had made a gentle effort to introduce the Emersons into Bertolini society, and the effort had failed. He was almost the only person who remained friendly to them. Lucy, with one eye upon the weather, finally said that she thought the Emersons were nice, not that she saw anything of them now. Even their seats at dinner had been moved.
"But aren't they always waylaying you to go out with them, dear?"
said the little lady inquisitively.
"Only once. Charlotte didn't like it, and said something."
"Most right of her. They must find their level."
Mr. Beebe rather felt that they had gone under. He wondered whether he would not plan a pleasant day for these folk before they left, some expedition, perhaps, with Lucy well chaperoned, to be nice to them. It was one of Mr. Beebe's chief pleasures to provide people with happy memories. Evening approached while they chatted. The air became brighter. The colours on the trees and hills were purified.
"Too late to go out," said Miss Allen in a voice of relief. "All the galleries are shut."
"I think I shall go out," said Lucy. "I want to go round the town in the circular tram."
Her two companions looked grave. Mr. Beebe, who felt responsible for her in the absence of Miss Bartlett, ventured to say,
"If you do want to go out alone, won't you be better on your feet?"
"Italians, dear, you know," said Miss Allen.
She so far conceded to Mr. Beebe as to say that she would only go for a little walk and keep to the street frequented by tourists.
"She oughtn't really to go at all,"
said Mr. Beebe as they watched her from the window.
"And she knows it. I put it down to too much Beethoven."
Mr. Beebe was right. Lucy never knew her desires so clearly as after music. Conversation was tedious. She wanted something big, and she believed that it would have come to her on the windswept platform of an electric tram. This she might not attempt. It was unladylike. Why? Why were most big things unladylike?